What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, March 17th of 2026. Looking ahead here, we had a 10-match tennis slate already get underway. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. And then we have a 6-game NBA main slate tonight, as well as a 9-game NHL main slate. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. You can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, going to get SaberSim pulled up. I actually have some pretty exciting news that I want to share with you guys. Two very exciting things happening on the SaberSim side here. Number one is we have college basketball projections and ownership up in the app. This is the first time we have supported college basketball. So this is super, super cool. If you go over to the college basketball main slate for later today, you will see ownership and you will see projections and you will see multiple buckets of ownership as well. So we are fully supporting this NCAA tournament with projections, ownership, and sims. So contest sims work as well. We'll probably spend a little bit of time doing a demo here on the college basketball slate for tonight. The other thing I wanted to mention is if you go over to MLB for FanDuel. FanDuel has released salaries for opening day, and you will see MLB projections in the app. So these are initial MLB projections for the upcoming season. So opening day is live on FanDuel only, I believe. That's my understanding here. Last I checked. So once DK releases the salaries, then we'll be able to run all the DK stuff as well. But projections, ownership, detailed stats, everything you're used to seeing for MLB is up in the app as well. So exciting time here to be using SaberSim here. I'm really excited. And I'm going to go back to college basketball. That's probably where we'll spend some time today, but feel free to jump in, you know, start running some MLB builds, start running some college basketball stuff for tonight. I wanted to call those things out to start the show. Going to bring our first question up on the screen and then kind of see where we go from there. So first question, what's something you've noticed that separates people who actually win consistently from people who are just using the tools correctly? Okay, good question. So, you know, I think that the most important thing to understand is that, you know, this idea of consistency in DFS, they kind of don't go together, and it's very strange, right? Because if you're coming from, you know, a poker background, if you're coming from sports betting, if you're coming from some other, you know, kind of form of gambling, right? There are swings, but they're not as big as DFS swings are. And, you know, somebody told me once, they were like, you know, if you think variance is the size of a planet, it's actually the size of the sun. And this is like somebody who, you know, has a coding background and would run lots of back tests and things like that, right? So the idea here is that the variance in DFS is kind of bigger than you would imagine. And I think that, you know, a fair example that I can think of right now that I just saw this, so I'm going to pull this up. Okay, so we got to pull up two different things. We got to pull up the winner's circle. Okay, yeah, this is perfect. And I got to pull up one other thing. Okay, found it. Oh, hold on. All right, so let's pull this up. Video and question, and we'll start here. All right, so getting back to this idea of consistency, right? So, you know, Giant Squid is one of the best DFS players ever, right? I'm sure you guys have seen Giant Squid around. He is very, very good, has won many, many Millie Makers, things like that, right? Well, in NFL 2024-2025 season, Giant Squid won two Millies, and he won them on back-to-back weeks. One of them he won with this lineup, and then this was 2024-2025, and then he won on this other contest 2024-2025 as well. So these were back-to-back weeks, right? Giant Squid did not win an NFL Millie in 2025-2026, right? I didn't see any screenshots. I don't know. It just so happens this past week, for the players, he won the PGA Millie Maker. So he won just this last weekend with this lineup. And I saw his tweet yesterday, right? So he tweeted this out yesterday. So Giant Squid, long-term winner, really good DFS player. He, you know, is a very high volume player, right? Like, we could go and look at his Millie contest, at his Millie win in golf, right? We go back to golf. We go back to Thursday. Go to contests. And I'm assuming it was this 4K Millie is the one he won. Okay, so we go into it. And let's look at actuals. Giant Squid at the top. We go to users. And let's go to winnings. Okay, so Giant Squid had, you know, two lineups, right, in this contest. I think that, you know, this is a good example of, like, what I actually thought he was going to have more entries in this, to be quite honest with you guys. I think this is a good example of, like, hey, you don't need to max out a contest to win it, right? He had two entries, and the most that you could enter was 19. So, like, that's kind of cool. But my point was that he is a high-volume DFS player, right? I don't know if he had a winning NFL season or not. He could have, right? He could definitely still win without winning a Millie. But my point is that he didn't win one, even though he is a consistently good player, right? The idea is that if you are a long-term winning DFS player, you will get there, right? The math will fall in your favor. And it did, right? It just didn't happen in NFL. It ended up happening in PGA. So, like, that's just, like, an example from, like, a top player that just, like, kind of popped in my head. That kind of goes with the question. The other example that I will pull up are these bankroll simulations from this project that we did a while back, right? What we did is we took a player who we said, hey, this player has an expected ROI of 20% in MLB. They're above average MLB DFS player. How do they do across a 160-day season playing every single day, right? If you look at this graph, there are full seasons where this player loses, even though the player is expected to win, right? There are a number of lines that are below zero here and finish below zero. And that sucks, right? This player who's expected to win in a 160-day sample size can still lose in an entire season of MLB. Now, they can also win, right? There are probably more lines winning here, right, than some of these low ones. But my favorite example, right, is this red line. Because if you've grinded a sport every single day, right? And you're not winning, you're below zero, and you can't get a win, right? You can't get a spike. At no point, there's a little bit of even, there's a little bit of up and down, but a little trending down, right? At no point are they just like, oh my gosh, like I can't get a win to save my life. And it takes them about 140 days, takes them 5 months into the season. You know, they're in August, right? And then they finally have a big win, and then they finish off the year with like a little bit of a smaller win. When you look at the season, hey, you know, I won like $5,000. It was a pretty good year, but it didn't feel good for a very long time, right? And this is the higher variance that comes with DFS that is so different from like every other form of gambling, right? So it's very, you know, to tell you the truth, like the number one thing that consistent players do that other players don't, I would say is bankroll management, right? You have to get to this point. You have to not go broke in the 5 months leading up to your win, right? You know, a lot of players are like, hey, you know, I'm just going to play this much. I'm going to play 1 month. I'm going to play 2 months. I'm going to play 3 months. Like, oh, it didn't work out. You know, now, you know, I'm going to go play something else. I'm going to stop playing MLB and I'm going to switch to WNBA, right? The idea here is to build a winning process, confirm you have a winning process via your flashback results, and then exercise bankroll management strong enough to get to your spike. I think that is the key, right? A lot of players will have bad bankroll management. They'll take risks that they probably shouldn't, and they will just not stay in the game long enough to get to the big spike. And I think that is like the ultimate key. So like what you want to do is I would try to do something with more slates to start. You know, that's kind of the way I feel. Like I think playing, you know, for NFL, right? I think it is better to play all of the showdowns than to just play the main slate, right? All of the showdowns give you 15 or 16 opportunities to play in a week, right? You play Thursday, you play all of the Sunday ones, you play Monday, and then you do that again. And there's always a couple days there in between, right? So from Thursday, on Friday, you can study your Thursday results in flashback, see what things you need to tweak before Sunday comes. Sunday, you're going to get a ton of opportunities to play. And I've seen users do this as well. Hey, you know, there are 12 games on a Sunday. I'm going to deploy this strategy for four, this strategy for four, and then this strategy for four. I'm going to see how my actual results are. I'm going to see how my flashback results are. And then I'm going to see if I want to favor any one of those, right? Okay, Monday comes, you study in the morning, and then you have Monday night football. And you can figure out, hey, you know, which approach do I want to take into Monday? And then Tuesday comes, right? You can study Monday and then you're getting ready for Thursday. Like you always want to play more slates, you know? So that's going to help smooth out your results. That's going to give you more opportunity to dial in a good process though. And I think that is like the big key is that when you're unsure of whether you have a long-term good process or not, you should try and play more slates, right? Let's say you like NASCAR, you know? Okay, don't just play the Cup race on Sunday. Play O'Reilly on Saturday and then also play Trucks on Friday because those give you additional opportunities to dial in your process to get ready for Sunday, which is like the bigger contests, right? So you gotta get... It's like... How can I explain this? It's like a baseball hitter taking batting practice, right? You need more reps. You need more swings. And the more swings you get, the more you're going to be able to dial in your swing in said sport and then be ready when it's actually time to you know, perform, to play like a real contest. So I think that, you know, more slates are definitely going to help you dial in your process, and then you can, you know, kind of branch out from there. But I think that those are the things that the best players are doing is, you know, you look at Shady Advice. Shady plays everything, and turbos, night slates, showdowns, you name it, right? He's trying to play as many things that he knows he has an edge in as possible to help smooth out his results over the long term. So that would be my best advice there as to what I see the best players doing and how you can, you know, follow down that same path. All right. Zen said, got a question from Zen. As someone who has used SaberSim since January, I can see how accurate this is. I put in $200 in DK, and I'm now up to $550, only playing 10 to 15 a day in DFS since my bankroll is so small. That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, I think people underestimate the impact of like compounding. You know, compounding in DFS as far as your bankroll goes can go like really, you know, you can be playing small stakes and then all of a sudden, you know, your stakes are going to grow as, you know, those wins come, right? You're playing $10 to $15 a day. Hey, you've almost 3x'd your bankroll. Well, what's the next 3x, right? It's 500 to 15. It's 15 to 4,500, right? And if you stick with that, you know, all of a sudden your bankroll is going to be a lot bigger. And I think people kind of underestimate that. They want to go from 200 to, you know, 100,000 in the snap of a finger. But I think you're better off doing what you're talking about here, and going that route is going to help you and make it so you don't go broke, because going broke is the worst thing that you could possibly do. All right. Good question there. Good follow-up as well. Fun stuff to talk about. We are going to jump back here to college basketball for today, because I really want to do a college basketball demo. And we'll go back to the two-game slate. While that comes in, follow-up question. Oops. Sam said, thanks for that answer. Speaking of process, since everything is almost basically automated, where do you personally still apply judgment? You know, I think the best place to apply judgment, right, is in the, honestly, I think in the exposures that you get, right? When you run a build, and we'll run one right now, and we'll just run like a basic build here. When you run a build and you get the exposures on the other side, I think it's very important to look at your exposures, look at the players' ownerships, and look at your leverages, positive and negative, right? Who am I taking a stand on? How big is that stand in terms of exposure, raw exposure? How big is that stand in terms of leverage against the field? And am I comfortable with that, right? That last question is where you add the judgment, because what I'm comfortable with, you might not be comfortable with. Another player might be more comfortable, another player might be less, right? Like that risk tolerance aspect is where you really need to put your own touch on your builds, right? That's the way I think. So like if I were playing college basketball tonight, I'm gonna move some stuff around. Okay, let's go like pool. I don't really care about like team or ownership. So I'm going to preface this by saying I do not follow college basketball. I basically know nothing about it other than what I see online. But I do know basketball, and I do know DFS, and that makes me comfortable. I don't need two exposure columns. Status is like maybe mildly important. I don't know how important. I don't know how many like questionables there are in like college basketball. I don't know. I don't know if it's like the same as the NFL. I'm sorry. Same as like the NBA with like a lot of players being questionable all the time. I have no idea how any of that works. All right, we're just gonna use unique spawn. And we'll leave status. All right, so here, right, I'm coming into SaberSim and I'm setting up a group of 20 lineups. Now, what else do I wanna add? We'll do average projection, average Saber score, aggregate metrics. I got 20 lineups here. I'm gonna sort my table by exposure, right? Okay, so I come in here, right, and I'm looking at this for the first time, right? I have two players that are 100% exposed. Well, one of them is in 92% of my pool and is 46% owned. The other one is 28% owned and in 64% of my pool lineups, right? So like these exposures, both 100, are the same in terms of raw exposure, but are different in terms of leverage, right? This is like the part I was talking about. You gotta pay attention to all these things, and you can even pay attention to your pool exposure too. Me, I am comfortable with the 100% exposure on Jose Roberto Tanchin. I am not okay with the exposure of 100% on Jordan Pope. I don't like that, right? I think it's too high. I think it's too far away from his pool. I think the leverage is too far away from every other player on the slate. I want to lower him, but I want to leave Jose Roberto, right? So here, what I would do is I would say, okay, you know, I'm not super comfortable being over 3x the field on this guy. I'm going to lower him to the next lowest exposed player, which is at 85%. And I'm going to apply that change. And then I'm going to see what this looks like. Okay, so Jose Roberto went to 85%. The leverage went down. Ace Valentine came up 5%. And, you know, now they're my second highest. Well, you know, I could make the same decision here, right, of changing it. Oh, wait, I did that backwards. Okay, I actually didn't mean to do Roberto. I meant to do Pope. Okay, so Pope, I wanted to do 85%. That's my fault. Okay, so Pope goes to 85%, leverage comes down. So now I have three players in this 50% leverage band, but they're all kind of similar, even though all three of their exposures are slightly different. This is where I think you add your judgment, right? If you have opinions, if you are like, hey, you know what? This much exposure is just too much for me. I've had some people tell me like, hey, I just never want to play 100% of anybody because if they get hurt, that means all my lineups are dead. And even if that means only playing, you know, even if I set a max exposure of 95%, where I know that if a guy gets hurt, I have at least one lineup to continue to root for without that player, I'll be okay with that, right? I've talked to people with that mentality, and that is totally fine, right? They are playing, you know, for the sweat, for the entertainment value. They don't want it to be, you know, 6 o'clock and their night's over, and now they have nothing to root for, right? At least they have that one lineup still alive. That's an okay approach, right? That's not my approach, but it's some people's, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's not a wrong or right. So this is the part where I think you put in your judgment or your takes, or you know, you guys ever done like a 401k and they have like, you know, moderate risk, like low risk or like high risk, right? And some people pick the low, some people pick the high, some people pick in the middle, right? You know, there's not a wrong or right answer there. It's just kind of up to you. And that's where the judgment part is, in my opinion. All right. Good follow-up there. We basically did a college basketball demo here. Didn't set up any filters, rules, change any settings, left it up to SaberSim there. Ran a build using SaberScore, dialing in our exposures and our risk to a level that we are comfortable with, and then going from there, right? Continue to dial this in as much as you want. But once you're ready, save those lineups, download them, and then upload them to your contest. All right, looking here in Discord and YouTube chat, think we are all set. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody,